How Do You Cope with Ellis and John.
We want to tell you about the brand new series of our podcast, How Do You Cope, available now on BBC Sounds.
Let's create spaces where young people feel confident to say, actually, I need help.
Each week, we speak to guests about some of the challenges they've had to overcome throughout their lives, all answering the question, how do you cope?
You should let it seep out from every pore in your body and let it be physical and rageful so that it can leave.
They've been some of the most illuminating conversations I've ever had.
From BBC Radio 5 Live.
How do you cope with Ellis and John?
Listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This is the TMS Podcast
from BBC Radio 5 Live.
Hello and welcome to the Test Match Special Podcast. I'm Isha Guha. David Warner is about to play in his seventh Ashes series. It's also going to be his last, as he's just announced that he'll be retiring at the end of the Australian summer. Ahead of the Ashes and the World Test Championship final against India at the Oval, both of which you'll be able to hear in full on Test Match Special, I had a fascinating, wide-ranging chat with him to talk about his family, his approach to the game, his love for the fight, facing Stuart Broad, and what it's like to be booed by so many Barmy Army fans.
The TMS Podcast from BBC Radio 5 Live.
Great to be able to speak to you, Davey. Big summer ahead for you. What are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, thanks, Ish. Look, I'm obviously first and foremost looking forward to the Test Championship as a nice warm-up and potentially could be champions, Test champions, leading into what's going to be a fantastic Ashes. If they pull this weather out, it'll be awesome. That might actually see 5 days of cricket.
What have you made of this new approach from England under Ben Stokes? Are they just catching up to your methods?
I like the commitment. You know, they keep, you know, talking about it, they keep acting on it, they keep doing it. So I think the only test comes when you probably get bowled out for 200. But you're going to have those days as well when you're playing like that. So it'll just be good to see, you know, if you lose the first two tests and you don't bat well, bat in that way, do they change, do they not? I think that's the only question, but from our point of view, we won't be doing anything different, that's for sure.
You'll make it very fascinating, your bowlers against England's batters.
Yeah, it is, but we know if the sun's out here, it's going to be a nice day out for the batters, hopefully, for us. For the England guys, it's about plans as well, so you know, I think the guys are working hard in the background to have plans in case England do get off to a bit of a flyer. And I think, you know, as a player, you know, when you're on, there's still something in that wicket that can happen. So, you know, I think if we just keep our lines and lengths, hold for a period of time, hopefully some catches go to hand.
Are you looking forward to the challenge as a batter?
I am. I can't wait. I'm excited. Been training at Beckenham. If they take that wicket everywhere in the country, I'll be laughing.
So you've got the Ashes ahead, but first up it's India, which has become a bit of a rivalry itself. How much do you look forward to those battles?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, especially here, Jukeball, both teams foreign against playing each other here in England. It's going to be exciting. I know what they can do with the SG ball on turning wickets, but I also know how well equipped they are, you know, in their conditions as fast bowlers as well. So, you know, Mohammad Shami is always targeting the stumps, gets them to go both ways. Mohammad Siraj has been excellent of late also. So the challenge is going to be here with the Duke ball against them, their line and lengths, and it's about me trying to disturb that. But it's fair to say that the one Test match, you know, it shouldn't determine who's the better team. I think a series would be great, but it is what it is. And you know, if we can play better than India on those 5 days, then it'll be fantastic.
It'll be an amazing Test match, but then you've got the Ashes after that. What does the Ashes mean to you?
Yeah, look, it means, it's the same old cliche, it means everything. As a kid, it's the pinnacle of Test cricket for us as Australians. Coming over here, we know how extremely difficult it is to win. Came very, very close last time. It was a great series. We've still got those memories of when JL made us watch back Stokesy and Leachy. We'll never forgive him. But I think, you know, those moments there just want you to come back. I said in 2019 that I wouldn't come back here. After the Ashes last time here, I wouldn't come back. But I'm sitting here coming back with some redemption.
What is it about playing here in England that just gets your juices flowing?
Oh, there's a mixture of things, you know. It's not just the conditions, it's the crowd. It's just the sense of occasion, it's the build-up. And that's one thing that we love about cricket in general. Now, we always want to try and do well as an individual for the team, but team winning the series over here would be awesome.
Just take us back. You mentioned the crowd there. Take us back to 2019, that first Test match at Edgbaston. Your return from the ban. You've got 20,000 Brummies all saying personal things about you. You know, what's going through your head in that moment?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. I can play the other side and say, why do they have to be personal and all that kind of stuff? But at the end of the day, they want to pay a ticket, come watch us and abuse us, and they think it's okay to do that, then, fine by me. But I'll always play along. That's how I've always been. If they're going at me, I'm obviously doing something well. They're trying to put me off my game, and if they keep coming at me, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. I'll keep going out there. I've got the best seat in the house to watch the game, so all I can do is sit back, smile, and try and score runs.
How do you see your role, though, as this kind of pantomime villain, if you like? Is it something you thrive on?
Yeah, I do, and for me, it takes a lot of pressure off the other players. No other player gets to sort of, they're not sort of, how do you say it? I won't say a victim, but when you're out there and you do have that, sort of behind you, and you do hear it. But for me, when I walk out, I'm almost walking out there with a smile on my face because I know they're worried. So if they did it to probably every player, what would happen then? You just don't know how people would react. But for me, I'm thinking they've done it long enough to understand that I don't care. But I enjoy it. They have fun. They get a few beers in them and they have a laugh and go home and, had a good day out.
So the English fans like to get it stuck into you, Davey, but who is the real David Warner?
Married to a lovely lady and have three beautiful daughters. And, for me, I'm a very family-orientated person. I absolutely love them and adore them, but, I'm actually genuinely a deep down caring person. So, I reach out to anyone out there that wants to have a beer with me and you get the opportunity to. You can sit down and we can talk cricket, we can talk anything, and I'm always up for it. What you see on the field is what you see. I think in my past, I've had those experiences where I've clashed with people on the field. I've made some mistakes in my time, but deep down, I think I'm a good person. I've enjoyed my sort of my career to date as well. So, hopefully I've put some smiles on people's faces watching the game of cricket, and hopefully I can sort of, leave that little bit of a legacy behind.
You mentioned you perhaps got into a few scraps on the field. Do you sometimes feel that you maybe turn into a different person almost, especially when there's that extra pressure on you?
I think when you look back, it's over a decade now that I've been playing. It used to be like that. It used to be, a lot more banter, a lot more sledging. Now there's a lot more franchise cricket around. Everyone knows everyone. So it's been like that now where you walk out there, you're competing against, guys that you first started and you're actually having proper banter with. And now, you're sharing a change room with them, walking out to play alongside them. So, from that perspective, we do change. And as you get older, you start, you talk about maturing, but I think you get a better understanding of other people and how they go about playing cricket, how other people get themselves up and about. And I used to probably, I was sort of brought up being that aggressive person on the field, and I've sort of found a peace with that at now standing at first slip, just enjoying myself and hoping one goes in the bread basket and then hopefully score some runs.
What's the weirdest thing an England player has ever said to you on the field?
I don't reckon there's been anything that really weird said. There's just a little bit of banter here and there, when you're changing between overs and stuff. And that's probably years ago. It hasn't happened recent years. I think everyone knows certain players you probably don't go at when you're on the field. So probably one of them. So I like that stuff. And if I have to get into it, when I'm out there, I'll always stick up for the player at the other end as well. If they're getting into them, you've always got to back up your teammate. So if you can take a bit of heat off them, you can cop it. So, help them out.
Let's talk about your form with the bat. And you know, last time you were here, it was a difficult Ashes for you. You averaged 40 against Stuart Broad, in particular in Australia, but over here it's significantly different. Why is that? What is so different?
I think I've had coaches in the past, you know, try and tell me that you got to play more of a defensive sort of game over here, and I feel like last series when I was here, I was concentrating too much on surviving. My game plan's based on attacking and putting the bowlers off their line of lengths, and you know, I had success the series before that when I was over here. I think I scored 50 in every second innings, but I look back at those, and if you get good balls, you get good balls. You can't do anything about it. So I think the way that Broadie bowled last time was great. I think, you know, for me, looking to be defensive early against him, and rightfully so, he bowled really well. I think if I'm looking to score and I'm in those positions, I actually can defend better. And that's just the way that I play. So if I'm looking to score, I defend better, try and put them off line and length. I think that approach will work for me coming this season. Something I've always probably missed a little bit in 18 months prior, I think. Sort of not went into my shell, but I was looking more to survive rather than just play my natural game. So hopefully I can bring that out here in this first game of the Test Championship final.
What about that rivalry then with Stuart Broad? Just take us into your mind and your mindset. Edgbaston, first ball, facing up to Stuart Broad. What is going through your mind?
I think I missed two half volleys. And I tried to hit him straight down the ground. So, like, your mindset is just basically, you know, first up, you're hoping that they miss their line and length. And then they're going to have to adjust. So, from my perspective, it was, you know, it's just one of those things where you've got to try and get on the upper hand early. And it gets me out of LBW, I don't review it, it's missing the stump. So, they're things that you go back and you go, well, I've worked hard on trying to work out a game plan against their attack. And then you get out like that. And then there's conversations, oh, you know, why are you batting outside, sort of off and middle? Why are you batting out of your crease? Why are you doing this? And then you start guessing, second-guessing yourself, going, well, is that the right approach? But the rivalry's great. I think in a recent interview, you know, he was talking about how, you know, bowling against me, he had to go back and like try and work out ways how to try and stop me scoring and stop the flow of scoring. For me, it's the same thing. How do I look to try and attack? How do I score off him? How do I put him off his line and length? I think in Australia, your margin of error is very small, where in England, the ball does swing in the air and does seam both ways. So I think with those 2018 Dukes, especially, they grip off the surface early on. So as an opening batter, if you manage to survive 10 to 15 overs, it'll get a lot easier with that seam because it was grippy. And I think, you know, both sets of openers from both teams didn't have a great series. So from my perspective, I didn't look too much into it because I did get some good balls. But the rivalry in general has been fantastic. I've enjoyed it. He's a world-class bowler, world-class competitor, and he's a good bloke. And I think, you know, sharing a beverage with those guys afterwards and just understanding how they go about their game as well. We're there because we love the game and we love the rivalry, but we all bring the best out of each other. And I think you don't have longevity in the game if you're not in that competitive spirit as well. So I think he always brings that, and I've got the ultimate respect for him.
It's quite amazing, really, two players coming to the end of their careers, and this will be your last time here in the UK. What do you want your legacy to be?
I think just remembered as a fighter, as a player who started his career playing 2020 cricket, not thinking I'd ever open the batting for Australia in Test cricket. Play all three forms. Hopefully I can inspire the next generation that, you know, you've got hope of playing long form of the game if you just, you know, start playing 2020 cricket. I think it's important that you know, you've got to pride yourself on your fitness and the way that you go about it. You have to train hard as a kid. I did a lot of that behind the scenes. Just want to be, you know, sort of leave behind that competitive spirit, going out there and giving it my all, being the best teammate I can, and being the ultimate, you know, competitor when I'm out there.
Does it feel quite emotional, you know, with everything that you've been through in the game? you know, your early beginnings through what you've achieved. You know, you've got the second best strike rate for an opener for anyone that's played more than 35 test matches. I mean, that's pretty outstanding. You've been involved in some incredible battles. You've won Ashes. You know, how does that make you feel?
I think I'll be able to sit back and reflect on that when I finish. And, you know, when you hear those things, you don't actually realise that that's what you've done. I think, you know, we don't look at stats or anything like that, but when you sit back and, like yourself, when you say things like that, you pinch yourself. I've been given a great opportunity. I've come through the system at the right time. We had a great generation before us. So just to put on the Australian baggy, or to put on the baggy green, in itself is a special moment. But I always look back and think back at that young kid that came through Housing Commission, grew up annoying all my next door neighbours with the balls banging on their walls. Even in my garage, I'd annoy my dad because if I missed one, I used to bang on the garage door as well. So, you know, coming from Housing Commission, you know, I worked at a local Woolworths, which is probably Tesco's. At 14 years of age, to playing cricket and, you know, coming back and playing over a decade, it is really, really special. I don't just represent myself, I represent all my friends that wanted to achieve that as well. So they're always in the back of my mind that, you know, kids growing up that I played with that wanted to aspire to play at this level, I'm always thinking of them and making sure that, you know, what they've seen me be able to do has made them happy as well, because I've had a lot of good mates that played cricket that were exactly like me but went into different career paths. So I feel like I represent them in a way. And yeah, I'm just happy for my family as well. So my parents, Lorraine and Howard and Steve. They're not coming over, no. They're hoping I get back to Australia and I retire in Australia. So fingers crossed that might happen. But, you know, I've really enjoyed it, and without them I wouldn't be here today.
An incredible Ashes series coming up, and I'm sure you'll be doing your friends and your family really proud just by being out there and playing with that competitive spirit. Why do you think you've been so successful at the top of the order in that kind of aggressive style?
I've always said if you've got a fear of failure, you might as well quit now. You've got to go out there and just play your way. You've got to trust your method. You've got to back yourself. You know, you've always got to think that your back's up against the wall. And I think that's from my background. You know, as a kid, growing up in Housing Commission, that's what you did. You had to always, you know, fight's the wrong word, but you always had to hustle. You had to, you know, find a way to do things, to be successful. You know, I was never an academic. I was never smart. I just learned how to work hard from a young age. So I think that's probably why I'm probably mentally strong as well. Yeah, you got to go through some hard times to really understand how to deal with certain situations. That's why when people talk about pressure, I don't feel pressure. You can speak about it, you can see, you can say whatever you like in terms of, you know, you're not scoring runs, this and that. I see things different. People talk about, you know, form. I'm never out of form, it's out of runs. If you start believing that stuff, then I feel like you're going to go into that shell and you're not going to get out of it. So you've always got to have, you know, some positive affirmations to get you going and to keep you going. So for me, that's where I feel that I'm probably at my strongest. And my resilience comes from my background and growing up.
A lot of lessons there for young kids listening or watching, for sure. Certainly in competitive cricket and competitive sport. To be able to build that resilience, to be able to come back from, you know, your darkest moments. And you've certainly been able to do that. Some of the lighter stuff then. Mitch Johnson said that when he was terrorising England in Australia, the song that was playing in his mind was Frozen, Let It Go. That was being played on repeat at home by his lovely daughter. Is there anything that you think of when you're out there on the field?
Oh, I used to sing The Wiggles a lot in my head when I had, especially when I had Ivy. But now the little one, Isla, she's into The Wiggles now as well, so it's starting to come back. The girls weren't really into Frozen and that. I think it was like a bit of about a month or two. obviously they're 8-7 now, Ivy and Indy, so I'll have started the transition through that period now. But yeah, I think Mitchell had to have that in his head though, to be honest.
Let it go, quite literally let it go.
Well, he would have had to have it in his head over here, that's for sure.
What about your daughters? Because I know they're involved in cricket, they love the game.
Yep.
How good is it that they can have so many amazing female role models around them as well?
Oh, they love it. Absolutely love it. They've just taken up what you guys call football. They play soccer on the weekends as well, and tennis. But they absolutely love it. Like, they go to the Women's Big Bash. You know, they love being in and around the girls. It helps when Starkey's married to Alyssa. They absolutely love her, especially the little one. But they just love the fact that they get the opportunity that a lot of other kids don't as well. So they're around people who it's normal people who other people go, you know, wow, how do you know these guys, you know? So they're privileged in a way, but they know and understand, you know, what they're getting into. If they don't want to play any of the sport, they don't have to. And not once have they ever said they don't want to go to training, they don't want to go to, you know, netball on the weekend either. So from our point of view, we really enjoy that and we're happy. It's a lot of running around for the wife because I'm never home. Which I am grateful for, and I'm sure that will come back tenfold when I'm home. And I'll enjoy doing those activities with the girls, so I can't wait for that. But, yeah, you know, they love their sport. And so many, there's so many role models out there for them. You know, and hopefully I'm one of them for them, even though they speak about Marnus and Finchie and, you know, Starkey and all them. So, you know, when they're around us.
Keeps you grounded.
Yeah, it does keep you grounded in a way. But I like when they talk about, like, people like Ash Barty. You know, they love Serena Williams as well. You know, they're talking about Alyssa and Meg. You know, I hope they were going to be over during the women's IPL, but they weren't. But they love all that, so they're excited, and you know, they're growing up in a great era.
Are you looking forward to the Women's Ashes?
I am. I think it's the first time. I think since we're going to play simultaneous, which is fantastic. It's going to be great. Disappointing and sad for Meg as well. I think she's, you know, had that break last time as well, where she missed out on a lot of cricket. So hopefully she recovers well. And obviously with Alyssa leading, it's a great opportunity for her to lead with the girls there. And hopefully our girls can you know, get off to a flyer.
Davey, I wouldn't expect anything less. Thank you very much for your time. It's been much appreciated, and all the best for what is going to be an incredible summer.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That was David Warner. You'll be able to hear him in action during the World Test Championship and the Ashes, with commentary on every ball of every game on BBC Sounds and Five Sports Extra.
It just smashed right into the World Trade Center. It was a big, big explosion of flames.
People Who Knew Me, a story about lies.
You used a terrorist attack to run away from your mess and fake your own death.
And love.
Are you proposing to me?
In the face of death.
I'm Paul. I'm 6 weeks into chemo, and I have no eyebrows.
An original drama for BBC Sounds.
Yeah, something's up.
Starring Rosamund Pike and Hugh Laurie.
Happy death anniversary.
People Who Knew Me. Listen on BBC Sounds.